B-Pod Studios.
In case, you know, you've been hiding under a rock or something, the brand spanking new Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue just hit the stands today. And on the phone with us from Sports Illustrated, the senior publicist for the magazine, Joe Assad. Hi, Joe.
How you guys doing?
Good. Joe, I appreciate you coming on. You know, they tried to saddle us with a junior publicist, but we insisted on you.
Exactly. Well, they're all running around, so you got me pulled away. I know you'd rather have the cover model or one of the models,
but
I'll have to do.
What makes you the senior publicist? You've been there longer than everybody else?
Oh, I've been here about 3 months. So I don't think that's it.
Then how the hell did you get senior publicist?
I have no idea. They called and said, this is the position, this is what it's called, would you like it? I said, okay.
And meanwhile, there's like a junior publicist that's been there about 20 years that hates Joe.
Yeah, who wants to kill me? Exactly.
And the money was good. You couldn't turn down the job.
That's right. You know, I was in Buffalo, New York for a while, so I had to get out of there before the winter.
Oh, Jesus.
Man, what a great gig to land.
Yeah, not bad. Well, I was with the Buffalo Bills before this, so that wasn't too bad either.
Oh, no, that wasn't too bad.
That wasn't that great
Although
either,
I can't talk about that with you guys down there.
But you left at the right time.
Exactly.
Well, that Buffalo blows.
Now, the Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue just came out today. How long has these swimsuit issues been coming out?
This is the 35th edition of it.
Was it a conscious effort, or was there just one of the Sports Illustrateds that came out that featured a couple of bathing suited women? Does that sound right?
Yeah, it's definitely evolved. This year alone, we used 30 models.
Yeah, because I'm looking at 1966, you only used two models.
Exactly. So it's been an evolution for sure. And the amount of exposure and what it's become is just unbelievable. I'm sure if you could tell them that back in 1964 what this would be right now, I don't think they'd believe it.
Who is the little German chicky-poo on that front cover?
It is Heidi Klum.
She's gorgeous.
Unbelievable picture. I've had the pleasure of taking her around for the last 2 days. It was tough.
Get out, did you?
Yeah, it was rough. Picking her up and going around with her all day and then going to the party last night with her. It was terrible.
Yeah, all right. She's beautiful, looks great in a bathing suit. Is she a genuinely nice person?
She's so unbelievably nice that I told her at the end of the night, I said, if everybody I had to deal with this job was like you, it would be simple. And you don't expect that from a cover model.
Yeah, did you kiss her?
Yeah.
You did?
Yes.
Oh.
I got the kiss goodbye.
On the lips?
Nice.
Lips or cheek?
I think lips, but I'm not sure.
Give him that line you know in German that he can throw on her.
Does she speaks English, though?
Yes, very well.
Very well, but throw one at her next time. You going to see her again?
I probably will.
Yeah. Liebling kommt mein Zimmer. Lay that on her. Liebling kommt mein Zimmer.
All right.
That would be translated into English. Young lady, would you like to come to my room?
I don't know how much her husband would appreciate that.
Oh, she's married.
Close by.
She's married?
Oh, yeah.
Any kids?
No kids.
Because a lot of your Sports Illustrated models that we've watched over the years have become pregnant with twins and got 10, 12 kids, and they still pose.
Yep, exactly. We had a couple in this. Yeah, Nikki Taylor's got children and a couple other ones, too.
Is it true they ate guinea pigs?
On one of the shoots, yes, that was one of the, delicacies that was served.
Yeah, guinea pigs served with head and legs attached in Ecuador.
Much braver person than I to try that.
Unbelievable.
Why guinea pigs?
That's a good question.
And you'd think that, you know, these swimsuit models, that they'd be, you know, like, oh, how could you do that to a cute little animal? But I like these girls. They're carnivores.
Yeah, I don't know how much she enjoyed eating it, though. I forgot to ask.
Now I guess in this issue, kind of a new twist this year. Not only are we using these supermodels that we've all come to know and love, but now athletes and their wives have been thrown in this. I know Gretzky and his little blonde beauty are in this one.
Mm-hmm.
Herschel Walker and his wife.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
I think she's from Merritt Island.
Is she really?
Yeah.
Yeah, who else? What other athletes are in there with their wives?
Yeah, we got Daryl Johnson and his wife from the Cowboys. Down by you guys, Tina and Dan Marley are in it.
Oh, yeah.
Amy and Phil Mickelson, Meridian and Reggie Miller, and Denny and Jennifer Nagel.
And they're in their swimsuits then?
Most of them, yes.
What do you mean most of them?
It varies picture by picture.
What did Gretzky's wife, who got the glass hockey board to the head, not feel like she wanted to get into a swimsuit?
Well, she's actually in a swimsuit in one picture, and she actually has like a little bit of a pullout, and she's in some hockey gear as well, which I guess she could have used that night.
Wow. Which wife was too modest to go and throw the bikini on?
You know, I guess they all the women are in bathing suits. Nagel's wife is in a one piece. All the guys, though, it varies. Dan Marley and Reggie Miller are in their basketball trunks with no shirt, but Phil Mickelson and Denny Nagel are fully clothed.
Yeah, well, I don't know.
Well, you'd figure the golfer wouldn't want to go shirtless.
Yeah, exactly. Especially, you know, with Herschel Walker's on the page before him.
Yeah.
One of these things that I know throughout the years, I mean, Elle McPherson was on a ton of covers and had been featured in that magazine for the swimsuit issue, like for 10 years running.
Yep.
Same thing with what's her name? Who's the one that with
Kathy Ireland?
Kathy Ireland.
Yep, she's been in 12 of them.
Any of our
you're doing good. You haven't brought up Cheryl Teagues yet.
Oh well, you know she was one of my original favorites. But any of our old friends still in this year's issue?
Stacey Williams has 7 appearances. And that's the most of any in this issue. But Tyra Banks is back, and Nikki Taylor.
So no Paulina Portskova, huh?
Nope, it's been a while.
Yeah.
It's been a while since she's been in it.
She was another favorite of mine. Probably that Rick Ocasek forbidding her
to
do it.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you'll have plenty of new ones to choose from because it's unbelievable. It really is this year.
Yeah, you have how many models this time around?
There are 16 total. 30 when you count the athletes and their wives, which is the most ever. But 16 basically are the supermodels.
How many more magazines do you sell with the swimsuit issue versus a regular issue of Sports Illustrated?
Well, as far as readership goes, it's usually around 23 million for the regular issue. For the swimsuit, it's 55 million, just in the United States.
Wow.
19 million of which are women.
Oh, yeah. Well, they want to check it out, see
exactly.
What you know, what they're up against and all that crap. And I guess what, like 2,000 bathing suits were considered for this thing?
Yeah, there were a lot. And 162,000 photographs taken as well. With
that's a lot of film.
Exactly, with 72 making the picture. Some of the photos that didn't make the issue are on the website, and there's a premium area within there, and you can actually get some of the photos that weren't in the magazine. And there's some pretty good ones left over, considering 162,000 were shot.
Now, I guess the models considered for each year's issues, 100 models, I guess, were up for grabs to be selected to make the final 16.
Yep.
Now, of those 100 models that are out there, are some of them past Sports Illustrated models that they say this year we're just going to leave you out, like a Kathy Ireland?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm pretty sure Kathy Ireland wasn't even considering doing it at this point. She had done 12, and I know she had pretty much come to the end of doing the SI.
Yeah,
that doesn't mean she won't be in it, you know, in the future.
Oh,
she's
into her 40s now, isn't she?
I think she may be, yeah. She may be, but I don't know who was left out, but I'm sure it was.
All right.
So I know it must have been a tough decision for you, Joe, to leave the Buffalo Bills for this job.
Yeah, exactly. Well, anybody that wants to maybe get themselves in next year, just send their photos to me, and I'll take a look.
Then when you come in thing again, you know, you're going to tell me you didn't try to put a move on her, even with her husband.
Oh, I wish I could have, believe me.
What's her husband like?
He's a very nice guy. He's actually a hairstylist.
A hairstylist?
He does her hair as well.
You know.
Oh, man.
I don't like to even hear that. Yeah. Yeah,
but I mean, sure, she's beautiful, but you know, if that's your meal ticket and you're doing her hair,
that could
get old quick.
Yeah. How many of these models, you know, are dating football players or professional wrestlers?
I didn't see any of those. I don't know what they do in their spare time, but there were a couple, like John Stamos was there with Rebecca Romijn and people like that.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. It was quite interesting.
Yeah.
And how is he getting that? Because he's not hot now. Know. He's not doing anything.
Oh, he wasn't in the magazine.
No.
No, but I mean,
he's dating her.
But how's he getting her?
Oh, that's a good question.
Because what's he doing now? What was he on? He was on, like, Full House or something?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, I have no idea what he's on. He's doing something right, though, that's for sure.
Wasn't he babysitting kids with Scott Baio or something?
Joe, thanks so much for coming on.
All right, guys. Thanks for having
me. All right, man. Bye-bye. That's Joe Assad, senior publicist. He's only been there at Sports Illustrated for 3 months.
You know he's a hated man there.
Oh, sure.
He gets the senior publicist gig while there's some old broad that's been there for forever.
All right. How many of these do we have to give away?
And we make no guarantees this could be doodled on by Stan with a magic marker.
Don't worry. I'll try to keep my hands off it.
I know how you will, you know, you'll blacken out teeth and put horns on them
leave their copies alone.
I know you think that's funny, but, you know, if you're getting the magazine, you want to see the girls looking good. You don't want to see them after you get done with them.
All right.
Putting, like, Hitler mustaches
I will
on
not. If I do anything, it'll be to my magazine.
All right.
Hey!
friggin' ass off in that Southwest Florida heat. But I'm loving all the people that I get to meet. You got to tune your radio on. Now listen to me. We got that powerful stuff that'll knock you off. Fort Myers, all the radios are on. All over Southwest Florida, you know it can't be wrong. From Marco to Fort Charlotte, they all heard the news. They say, 2 o'clock, time to light the fuse. Radio that there's ever been. The show is so damn good it makes the Pope wanna sin. They'll fill out to the beaches, people laugh out loud. Got the show that draws flies and a bit of a crowd. Stand and hate it. Stand and hate it. Stand and hate it all afternoon. We're like whiskey and liquor, hot paradise. Listen to us once, then you're gonna listen twice. Got up way too damn early for too damn long. Back in the afternoon.
I'll leave you two groovy buddies to partake in rock and roll activities.
96 J-Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney. I had to play that Sports Illustrated swimsuit. That was from 1998, and we're asking, who is this Heidi Klum?
We weren't even asking that. You said, who's that that little German chick?
Yeah, I didn't even know. And she was, it was before she was even married to that seal. No kids. Because he was, she was
no,
married.
No, he said she is married, but yeah, it wasn't seal.
It wasn't seal. It was before that. And before she had a bunch of kids.
That was a cool dude.
Yeah. Yeah, been working at the chief editor about 3 months.
Yeah, wonder what happened to him.
I don't know. I can find. I'll dig it up, figure out what's going on.
Because you could tell we got along well with him.
He was going to go places.
Well, he's the kind of guy that would work sales here and and then go, hey, you guys want to go downtown tonight? Oh hell yeah!
Yep.
Yeah, let's go to Peter's, man.
Today, this is how time flies. Today is the 10th anniversary of Stan and Haney Boulevard. We dedicated this little stretch of cracked asphalt.
A lot of people don't know how that came about, and you freely educate them. I'm talking about the ones in this building.
Well, and I don't know. I'll tell the story very quickly. Then we gotta take a break. But so people come down, standing. That led to a lot of jealousy in the building. But that's neither here nor there. We can live with it.
See, I didn't hear about that because it was behind my back.
Right. Well, they won't say it to your face. When Brad Beasley was running the place, he was the one that took me aside because they had to explain themselves for the whole thing about Stan and Haney Boulevard. And here's the deal. 10 years, Stan and Haney Boulevard. They had the big ceremony. You know, once it's done, you got to capitalize on it, the company. But this stretch of road used to be called Q96 Boulevard or yeah. something like that.
Q96.
It was named after the old radio station before K-Rock came here, and it was never changed. And so Haney, you know, and I, for years, said we need
noticed
a road.
There's no such thing as Q96.
There is no such thing as Q96. And so we said for years, we want that road named after us. Nothing ever happened with it. Nobody knew what to do, how to do anything. And a person who remained completely anonymous, as he was your friend from downtown. He was in the county offices in charge of this
stuff.
And knew
what had to happen.
And he said, here's what you need to do to get that road legally changed to Stan and Haney Boulevard. And, well, okay. Haney and I asked, what do we got to do? Well, in the surrounding area of the road, I want to say there were four or five, let's say five property owners, people that owned the land, including Beasley, and four other property owners around. Then you had the immediate businesses that had access to this road.
Yeah, that would be impacted.
That would be impacted. That would be Beasley. It would be the Garden Center. It would be there was a couple other businesses. So let's say there were five property owners and four
interested parties,
right? And four businesses. And our insider told us what you have to do is, and here's the paperwork for it. What you have to do is get a majority of the business owners and the property owners, majority, to say, we have no problem with this
and
road being named Stan and Haney Boulevard.
And considering the road at that point was named for a non-existent entity.
Correct. Make a long story short, at this point in time, word came through that we were approved for the name change.
We got that
of the
majority.
Road. And we got the majority. And I said to our insider,
there's really only one holdout.
I said, "What was? Yeah." I said, "So we got the majority. They all agreed." And he said, "Yeah, there was no problem. Of the five property owners, four of them agreed. Of the four businesses, three of them agreed. Majority rules. Congratulations, Stan and Haney. That road is Stan and Haney Boulevard, and it's gonna
out of the property owners and the businesses in each category, we missed one.
Yeah, we missed one, and that one was both a business owner and property owner on
the
road.
Oh, that's a big vote,
and it's a huge vote. So the only one.
So we had to get literally everybody else on
correct,
our side.
Correct.
So who was that holdout?
Beasley. They refused. They said.
But they were overruled.
Said no, but they were overruled by the other property and business owners. And thus, Stan and Haney Boulevard was born, and it's 10 years old today.
And so when people go, wow, you have a road named after you, what an honor. That's really nice of Beasley. Well. But you notice.
Not really.
As time has gone on, they've realized, you know what? This is actually to our advantage. We should use it.
Yeah.
Now they're bragging about it.
Yep. They were the only holdout. We'll be back. Stan and Haney, 96 K-Rock.
Fred and Barney, Siegfried and Roy, Ralph and Norton, Stan and Haney. You gotta be shitting me. You can't pay me enough to say this shit. Stan and Haney, 96 K-Rock.
We are Stan and Haney. Hi, everybody. Coming up on the show today, we'll open up the phones for you in about a half hour. We'll do another edition of Stan's True or False. We'll spin the big wheel, find your category. Two people, two Stan and Haney listeners, go head-to-head in their five true or false questions. The one who gets the most right of their own category will win a prize selected especially for them.
And what's the name of that?
Stan's True or False.
Okay. That's a good one, I think.
Yeah, I like that one. And later on today...
Oh, is that the wheel one?
Yes. Later on today, our... You know how the mood I'm in today.
I do.
And then later on today, our question of the week.
And I can see where that would irritate you. If.
Yeah. Yeah.
It were not a legitimate question.
But I said beforehand, I said, that's when we spin the big wheel. And then you ask me 2 cents later, is that when we spin the big wheel? And I say, yeah.
It's hard for me to keep them all straight.
I understand. It's hard for me. It's hard for me.
Because they all have their distinct personalities.
They do.
And once you start playing them, oh, it's that one.
Right. Gotcha. All right.
And, you know, I'm not 100%.
I understand that. You haven't been since 95.
Boy, I was quick in 95.
Oh, you sure were. You know, they often said that about John Belushi. Whenever the other not ready for primetime players were being interviewed, and they talked about the greatness of John Belushi, and they said, "You didn't see the best of John Belushi on Saturday Night Live. By 75, he had already peaked as far as his creativeness. It was
well in improv where he came up. You had to be lightning fast."
Yep. Yeah. So Haney's, you know, Haney's playing hurt and, you know, but it's not the 1995 Mark Haney, okay? Just realize that, accept it, and appreciate it.
Boy, he was something.
Grab bag.
But you know what? A handful.
Yep. Brought to you by the Pewter Mug North, US 41 North Naples. Oh, you know, it's true. Today, it's finally here. It's the first day of fall. We have reached autumn. Here's some fall fun facts.
Autumn is simply another name for fall.
Here are five facts about fall that will make you sound smart. Number one.
Fall is caused by the Earth's tilt, not the distance from the sun.
Number two.
Weight gain in the fall may not be from all the food, but from lack of vitamin D.
Number three.
Fall colors are caused by the amount of sugar in the leaves.
Number four.
Birds spend most of the fall migrating.
And number five.
Children born in the fall are statistically better students and live longer.
Welcome to fall, Smarty Pants.
Well, thank you. What else is going on? Let's find out.
This is not headline news. Today is the first day of fall, and the signs are everywhere. Like Nick Cannon announced he's a father again. Oh, sorry, that's a sign it's a day of the week. Drew Barrymore says her mom let her smoke weed at age 9. Ha, gotcha beat. My kid was born on smack, said Courtney Love. The opening of the George Lucas Museum of Narrative Art has been pushed back. Apparently, Disney needed some extra time to totally ruin it. And Whitesnake singer David Coverdale is 71 today. These days, Here I Go Again isn't just a song to him. It's what he says in the middle of the night when he has to keep using the can. This is not headline news.
David Coverdale. There's a story there with the radio station, too.
Yeah. And there's also a story of we know firsthand what a wacky broad Jade Barrymore is.
Yep. Yep. All right, follow me on this one. And if you have sensitive ears, I'm not talking about language. I'm talking about a scream.
You're now, talking about me?
You might need to be aware. I'm going to tell you right now, this is not a woman.
Okay. Then I could probably handle it.
You think? All right. Take a listen to this. A guy is on a conference call at his home and totally loses it when he notices there's a squirrel in the room. I've just set the stage for you. Let me get a little more descriptive. So the guy is on a conference call at his home. He loses it when he notices a squirrel in the room. He's wearing a baseball. He has a baseball bat near his Breakfast at Tiffany's poster that he uses to try and shoo away the squirrel while freaking out. It's a squirrel.
And I think for the purposes of town hall,
Everybody, cease fire! The squirrel!
Oh, man. Grown man.
I don't know what's odder. The fact that he's that frightened of a squirrel, or the fact that he has a Breakfast at Tiffany's poster in his home and a baseball bat.
Look, I don't ask questions. Just don't infringe on my life.
I mean, I could understand one or the other.
Yep.
But both doesn't make any sense.
So, Haney knows this. I love the ukulele. It is probably one of the closest instruments I have been able to kind of play.
And it's very difficult for you.
Yes.
Not mentally, but it's a physical issue because you have large fingers.
Right, and they're tough to move around.
And ukuleles have a tiny neck.
So they were, and I didn't run this story because it was not that big of a deal. There was a plane going to Hawaii, and they thought over that long trek over the Pacific, let's have some fun with the passengers, and everybody got a free ukulele on the plane and got a ukulele lesson as they were going into Hawaii.
Okay, that could be awesome or horrible.
As I said, I'm not running the clip. What I am going to run was something that accompanied it, and that is a ukulele being played by a professional doing the appropriate ukulele song, the theme to Hawaii 5-0. Nice.
Yeah, but still needs its big brother, the guitar,
yeah,
to hold down those chords.
Don't you know it? This apparently popped up about 10 years ago, and nobody bothered to fix it. And so flash forward 10 years, it is still a problem in this town. And they're just realizing again, a decade later, it hasn't been fixed. A website for Hampton, Virginia's library apparently leads people, you know, how to get to our library in Hampton.
Mm-hmm.
Here's need directions. Click here.
Oh, that's helpful.
They haven't fixed it in 10 years. The directions lead to an adult toy store. You know,
I don't even think the prankster had any intention of 10 years. If the prankster was aware, he'd probably fix it himself.
Yeah. It's been sitting there for 10 years. They're realizing it now.
I have 5 kids. I could just imagine if they had seen that instead of their mom. I thought maybe I put in the wrong address, so I double-checked, triple-checked, and it was still sending me to the same page, and it had explicit content.
It's embarrassing. This is not something the city of Hampton ever wanted to do.
I don't want to, like, point any blame. I'm just a mom that wants this gone.
You know what? She sounds like a nice lady, but you shouldn't go nuclear immediately.
Yeah.
Because as soon as a woman says to you, and her opening line is, I have 5 kids, you're helpless. What can I say to that? Obviously, you must be right. Mm-hmm. I don't even know what it is yet, but you put me on my heels with that one.
Right off the bat, you say that.
And that's the first thing she said.
I have 5 kids.
I'm done.
Good, you win.
Tap me out.
Yep.
I haven't even finished taping yet. Just tap me out now.
And you're talking about times changing and all that. There's one thing that women will hang on to. A guy may have come home at night to 5 kids in his house, but that won't be his lead line.
No.
To this day, with all of the woke and the first line a woman will go to if she's got kids is to let you know what? I've got 5 kids. Okay, you win.
How many kids do you have to use that line?
Over 3.
Because it just shuts you right up.
Yeah, because it's still powerful if you say, you know what, I have 4 kids at home. Oh, jeez.
But I don't know, 5, that's a force multiplier right there. And she leads with it.
Mm-hmm. That's what they do.
You don't even know that this is about a library yet. She just comes right out with it. I have 5 kids.
How low does Rob Schneider have to go?
As low as it takes. You can do it.
I saw the video.
You can do it.
And I said, this is borderline humiliation. He is going to be in a new movie called Daddy-Daughter Trip. It's coming out next week in limited release. And it was filmed in Phoenix. And one of the big chains in Phoenix is Raising Cane's Restaurant. It's one of their big... it's like Dunkin' in Massachusetts. Raising Cane's. They are one of the placement money people in the movie. It's based on that. They follow along, and Raising Cane's is important to the film and the financing of the film.
So it's important to the plot, the film, the financing.
So Rob Schneider was told to get into a Raising Cane's uniform and start working the drive-thru.
It appears to be a chicken fingers-based thing.
So the video's running. Local video people, probably, you know, local TV news. And he comes through the front door of Raising Cane's in his outfit and tries to be legitimate about this.
I'm here. I just happen to be wearing the Raising Cane's hat and shirt. No, Raising Cane's is my partner on Daddy Daughter Trip, and they've been real great supporters. I love Raising Cane's. Look at these guys. These are movies that I made when I had a lot more hair.
Right now on eBay, you go and you sell it and get $8. Hey. You take care.
Bye.
Watching it, I said humiliation.
No. That's modern life.
It's like when Haney and I were in Las Vegas and we go to the Cirque show to see Chris Angel, Mind Freak.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're talking a multi-million dollar production, and it was awesome. But the show ends. Everybody files out into the casino. We're sitting at an adjacent cafe having a soda after we got out of there, kind of sober up. And there's a kiosk that sells merchandise.
Yep.
And 5 minutes after the show ended, there's Chris Angel selling merchandise. And Haney looked at me and he said, it doesn't matter what level you're at. Doesn't matter.
No, and, you know, I guess, you know, the magic industry is like that. But we saw the music industry die. And it got like one hand out of the grave by concerts, live appearances, to make a fraction of what they used to make. But really, it's the overpriced merch that powers everything.
Stay by your radio. We're coming up on 3 o'clock.
Look, a five-fingered Death Punch sippy cup for
There's
your kid.
The 3 o'clock G-Spot safe word could get you 1,000. Follow the instructions. It's coming up next. We're Stan and Haney.
Something wonderful happens when you change to
Stan and Haney.
You'll feel better.
Did you say I'll feel better?
Yes, and here are the reasons why. Coughs disappear. Parched throat clears up. That stale feeling vanishes.
That is wonderful.
96 K-Rock.
Phone numbers here in the studio so you can talk to us. Maybe pick up a prize. 277-9600. If you're outside of our immediate area, it's a 239 area code.
You know,
I'll go over those prizes in a second.
Well, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
You just had mentioned in the last segment when I was a little lax on following your train of thought.
It was eating at you, wasn't it?
On game shows, and you said...
I was chewing away on you.
You know... what kind of day that I am having.
Yes, you do know.
And it was an accusatory statement, as if I was trying to make it worse. And
I think you might have been right there. You might have been.
And that was not the case.
Okay, I'll take your word for it.
And I'd like to make it up to you.
Okay.
But I have to ask you a question first.
All right.
Do you feel like singing today?
Do I feel it depends on what it is?
All right. We'll try that first. And if it doesn't, then it'll still be good.
Okay.
But it's...
I may join in, but I don't know if I'm going to sing. It depends what it is.
It's specifically for you.
Okay. What is it?
To enhance your mood.
Lay it on me. I can use this as nice background music, too, when we take our phone calls. One of my favorite songs of all time.
If you like singing.
Oh, you want me to... Oh, this is just... Why don't you just play the song?
Because I thought you might want to take the lead vocal.
I don't know if I remember all the words. To start it from the top. The old NRBQ song.
How could you not know all the words?
I used to know all the words, but I don't know that I know now. Remember last summer when we had the chance to find each other, start making romance, but it didn't turn out because... I can't remember. But yeah, I love that song. Play the... And then I know she and him do a great version of that as well. That Chanel.
For those of you that don't know, this is Stan's favorite song.
One of them. We had the chance to find each other, start making romance. But it didn't come off because you found another without an end of a clock. What good is the other? And I can't find no true love for baby. It's so hard. And I still think about you every time I'm riding in my car. Thank you,
Road Runner.
Yeah. 277-9600. I love this song. Let's see what we have this break. Not everybody's going to get a prize. The whole purpose of this is to talk to us, but some people we talk to and we say, you know what? You deserve something. We have Styx tickets. Going to be at the Barber B Man in January. Tickets on sale now. Jim Gaffigan this Saturday at the Man Hall. We have some pewter mug and we have Burger King. Now, I'm not saying everybody's going to get one. Spirit might move us.
It's been a year and a day since I talked to you. I don't know how I made it. I sure have been blue.
Oh, thank you, Haiti. Thank you. I feel better already.
Riding again.
Ahoy, who's this?
Hi, this is Brian. How you doing?
Good. Will you get off the speakerphone and talk into the receiver?
Yeah, just 1 second.
Certainly. Sorry, that's all right there, buddy.
We'll hold.
I appreciate you. Hi. Okay, I'm off the speakerphone.
Much better. So everybody in Southwest Florida can hear you.
Awesome, awesome. Oh, hold on just 1 second. My son is getting in the car as we speak.
Oh, okay.
I'm picking him up from kindergarten.
That's great. Just go ahead. Take your time. We're here.
All right. So I had a question for you guys.
Yeah.
As this is the life experts. I've always been told.
Is he buckled up?
Yeah. Is he buckled up? Is he in his kid's seat?
Oh, I'll be pulling over to the site to do that before I leave the school grounds.
Okay.
Well, safety
yeah,
first.
All right. Yeah.
Oh, yes. Absolutely safety. I just got to get out of the parking area.
Sure.
But at any rate, something I've been wanting to ask you guys.
Yeah.
I've been told my whole life I should get into radio and everything else because I have a voice that people have always said that. And I've never, you know, found a way to do so. But I've also thought, you know, I should get into voice acting. And again, I have no idea how to start doing that. What tips could you give, if any, on how to get into voice acting?
Haney?
Well, what I would say, first of all, is that the people that told you that are correct.
Yeah, you got a good voice.
You've got a good voice. You've got a borderline great delivery. As far as voice acting, it is probably one of the most competitive industries that there are.
Competitive, and Haney's right about this. It's competitive, but they're also what they call in the business. There are heavy hitters who seem to get a lot of the work.
Okay,
and, probably not as much as it was, say, 5 years ago, because so many of them were in the business for so long they've passed away. But it's and they use a lot of movie actors now to do a lot of voice
and
work.
That's where I was leading with how competitive it is. You're not just up against people that have the same natural talent that you are. You're up against people with names.
Right.
And the people without names, they all have very good representation.
They got a good agent.
So it's easy enough to get started. And there are a lot of sample scripts out there if you just type what you want into a search engine and make a demo tape that demonstrates what you're capable of. If you just have, you know, your natural delivery, that's fine. But if you can, you know, tap into different emotions or whatever, and they're not going to listen to anything longer than 90 seconds.
And here's the deal today. It's no longer like what we used to do is put a tape and send it out. You got to have your website where they can go and click to it and hear your voice work. So it's on MP3 or WAV file. And also keep this in mind, because they're always looking for it, and it doesn't pay much to start, but I know people in this building do it, of reading books, where people can go and have the app of reading a book, and they will pay you pennies on the dollar to go and do book reading.
But what you're thinking about, basically, I guess the odds are a little better than playing the lottery, but it's pretty much the same thing. If you get, the main thing I would say is if you get an opportunity, make the most of it.
Yeah.
Treat every gig, if you're lucky enough to get one, treat it like it's your last and give it everything you got.
And with talent, also, you need luck. You need to find the right agent. You need the right person to hear you. And that's another case, too.
Well, and a good friend of ours, Chris Corley, who used to work at this radio station, and he went on to do that and was one of the most successful and sought-after voice artists in the world.
You'd see him on everything, TV shows, movies, everything.
And he was a believer, and not everybody in the business is like this, but he was a big believer, even at his level, that everybody needs a coach. Now, sometimes that may be your agent or somebody affiliated with them, but even if you're on your own, it always helps to have an extra yep. set of ears that knows what they're listening for. And chances are, whatever you're going to be doing, you're going to be selling something. And so the client's going to have something in mind. And if you have somebody between you and them, and they understand what the client wants, and they understand what you're capable of, that person can be invaluable.
So there you go. You know what? You got the little one in the back seat. How about $50 to Burger King? You want that?
Yeah.
All right, it doesn't sound like you do. You don't have to give the kid...
I'm sorry I didn't have a better answer.
Yeah,
for
but
you.
That's it. That's the no. truth.
You know, I really appreciate that. I do. Right. And, I mean, do you have any suggestions on how to find an agent?
You got to have product first, and then the agent has to listen to you.
Well, we've gone this long. Let me ask you this.
Yes.
Do you have any hobbies or anything that you're really good at?
Yeah. I've got a few things that I'm really good at. I actually do a lot of video editing.
If you're doing the video editing already, do some YouTube how-to videos.
Yeah.
And your voice and the way that you naturally carry yourself, that will make for a compelling voiceover for the video.
And narrate it. Absolutely. All right?
All right. Thank you so much. Yep. And yes, $50 to Burger King would be awesome if you're still offering.
I am still offering that. Hold on.
And I'll tell you this. If I wanted to learn whatever it is that you're teaching and I clicked on that video... Your voice is compelling enough to make me want to hear what you have to say.
So hold on, pal. Line one.
What, are we playing America's Got Talent?
Yeah, no. But we say how it's changed. You mentioned Chris Corley, our friend, who was huge in the voiceover business. Don LaFontaine, Peter Thomas, all, mm-hmm. by the way, have some tie into our area. Peter Thomas lived down the street from here, but these guys got everything, and they with the exception
they were, because they're a known commodity, and when people need something done, they want it done fast and they want it done
and
right.
The other line is so many, look at George Clooney gets so much voiceover work, and so many known actors. Michael Douglas gets a lot of voiceover work too.
That's, Liv Schreiber,
yes sir, a lot of that stuff. So it's changing. And the coolest voice I ever heard, and he was an Academy Award winner, and used to come down to the station in Melbourne because he ran a little theater, and he used to do a lot, was the great Jose Ferrer. That guy's voice was so distinctive, and he was on so much stuff. So long after his acting career, which was brilliant, mm-hmm. ended, he made a living till the day he died doing voiceover work. And he would come down to the radio station when he was doing his theater stuff, said, I have to go and, you know, cut a few things down here at the studio, and he would come in.
And, you know, Chris set me up with a couple of projects, but the heavyweights all came back with a unanimous verdict on me. Love the voice, but I'm far too abrasive.
Ahoy.
I don't get it.
Ahoy. Nah. Ahoy, who's this?
Ahoy, gentlemen. This is Jeff up in Tampa. How are you?
Hey, Jeff. How are you, buddy?
Great. Hey, listen, I sent some photos. I emailed them to you. I was there at the dedication of Santa Haney Boulevard
yes.
back in the day.
Yes, sir. 10 years ago today.
And, well, here's the deal. I got two quick, easy questions. Number one, who arranged for the cannon to be there from the Civil War?
Oh, that's our buddy Eric.
Okay.
He owns a concrete business, and was a dear friend of ours, longtime listener, a big donator to the Stan and Haney Draft Fund, and he would take those cannons for Civil War reenactments and 4th of July and all that. And he said,
real honest to God cannons.
And he said, I'm bringing the cannon down.
That's cool. Okay, next easy question. I go back to Harry the Bulgarian when you guys were in the morning and everything back in the early 90s.
Yes.
And I moved up here to Tampa in 2015. Here, and I was at your 5,000th anniversary show at the casino.
God bless you.
Oh, man, that was something.
Yeah.
Here's my next easy question.
Yeah.
When you were coming out, you had the megaphone, and Haney's got his beer in one hand and cigarette in the other.
Yeah.
It was, you were in your zone, and people were driving by in cars, and the crowd was splitting up before we got out to the road. And you were yelling at people with your megaphone.
Yes, yes. I love a megaphone.
Were any of those people employees of the radio station trying to disrupt it? I'm just asking.
No.
Oh, okay.
No, no. You see, a lot of people on the road knew where the radio station was. A lot of people see a gathering of people on the edge of 41 and one idiot with a megaphone going into the thing, please calm down, please. You're going to get idiots that blow the horn and try to disrupt it. They weren't
employed. Because something must be going on.
Yeah, something's going on.
Well, it was a great day. The
it
weather
was
threatening. I've got video, but it's like too big to email. Is there a way I can get you some of the, because the video is priceless when you're yelling at people with a megaphone and you're doing the unveiling, and I was there. It was great. What a day.
It was.
Everybody there was a fan. It was wonderful.
You're a witness to history.
You are. I would like to see some of the pictures you took.
Well, did you get the email okay?
I don't know. I haven't gone in and checked the email. When did you send it?
I sent it about 2 minutes to 3 o'clock.
Oh, well, I haven't looked yet. I'm going to go look.
That's not looked at until the next business
day.
Well,
you're welcome to the photos.
All right.
I've got some videos if I can figure out how to get them to you, but it'd be a nice little slice of history to add to your collection.
I appreciate that, buddy. Thank you. Can we get you something? Oh, you're in Tampa.
No, I'm up in Tampa, and give it to the next family.
All right, brother.
You know, I'm going to go dig out. I have an original bottle from Joe that handed me Joe himself a barbecue saw. I have the bobblehead
doll.
I drove down to when you were at the baseball game and picked up my bobbleheads personally from you.
I appreciate
you.
You're a true fan.
Mega fan.
And even up in Tampa, you've remained a great fan of ours, and we appreciate it.
You were doing it.
I appreciate that. Thank you so much. We both do. Thank you. Yeah, that's nice. Nice to hear. 10 years ago. It doesn't seem that long ago. A decade's already gone by. One more, and then we got to take a break, because then we're going to play Stan's True or False. Ahoy, who's this?
Ahoy, I'm a first-time listener named Jesse.
You're a first-time listener named Jesse.
How did that happen?
Yeah, how did that happen? How did you start listening today?
So my boyfriend actually listened to y'all since he was in the car seat. He actually called in a while back and told y'all that.
Really? Okay. And what do you think?
Well, so far, I like it.
Okay, good. I like that.
You know, normally, when people listen for the first time and they don't listen for long, the first thing they say is, I don't get it.
Yeah, I don't get it at all.
So, that's good.
Yeah, now let me, your name's Jesse?
Yes, sir.
And who's, would we know your boyfriend if he called in the other day? Do we remember who he was?
It's been a few years back since he called. His name's Cole.
Oh, okay. Well, and so you've been seeing Cole for a while now?
Close to a year now.
Pretty good.
Well, you tell Cole we said hey.
He's listening as we speak.
All right. Hey. All right.
Hey, Cole.
How would you two kids love some Burger King?
We would love that, actually. It'd be great for lunch at work.
There you go. That's what I'm talking about.
And we're not talking about just, you know, $5 deal. What are we talking about?
$50. Does that sound good?
Yes, sir. That would really help out.
Yeah. A few meals there with you and Cole, Jesse.
Yes, sir.
Are the two of you out on your own yet?
Not yet. We're working on saving up for a place. We want to save up a down payment before we move.
All right.
That's smart.
So are you living separately right now, or are you in a parent's house? What are you doing?
I just recently moved here to rent with him.
Oh, good for you. Good for you. You could use the $50 in food.
I'm actually from deep east Texas. I lived in Rust, Texas for the longest time.
Ah, Yeah, you know, I was a big fan of Lone Star Beer. Hold the line, okay?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Ma'am, sir, tell Cole I said, hey, hold on, line three.
You know, I love that. Because you think back to those years of life.
Yeah.
If somebody had handed us $50 to Burger King.
Oh, I'd be like a king.
That's a life changer.
Yeah. I'll eat like a king. Stan's true or false is next. Up for grabs. Pair tickets to Universal Orlando's Halloween Horror Nights and a parking pass. There are no losers. The person who does not win will get a consolation prize. We're Stan and Haney. 96K Rock will play next.
We're just like most of you. Financially devastated ex-husbands, unrepentantly proud fathers, and underappreciated employees. Stan and Haney. 96K Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney. Chance now to win the Halloween Horror Nights tickets. John, release the phones and get me two Stan and Haney listeners ready to play Stan's True or False. 277-9600. If you don't win, you'll have a consolation prize, but this is for Halloween Horror Nights. The way the rules go on this is you and your opponent be each given your own category of five true or false questions. We'll spin the big wheel, find out what category you land on. That'll be your category. If you get more right in your five true or false questions than your opponent gets in theirs, you'll get the Halloween Horror Nights from Universal Studios Orlando. Plus, we'll throw in a parking pass, because that's, you have no idea how important that is. You have no idea. What lines am I looking at? Okay, gotcha. One in three. Let's play Stan's True or False. We'll go to our first player on line one. Ahoy, who's this?
Hey, Stan and Haney, it's Mike from Naples. How are you?
Hey, Mike. You want to play?
I'd love to.
All right, Mike, let's find out who your opponent is. Hold on. Hit this button. Ahoy, who's this?
Amanda.
Hey, Amanda.
Hi.
You want to play?
I'd love to.
All right, say hi to Mike. He's your opponent today.
Hi, Mike.
Hi, Amanda.
How are you?
It's nice. See, we're all starting out on a friendly note. Let's see. Let me get your name down, Amanda. And both of you familiar with how to play this. We're going to spin the big wheel, find out what category you land on. That'll be your category of five true or false questions. The one who gets the most right in their own category will be deemed the winner. All right?
I like it.
All right. Mike, let's start with you. Let's spin the big wheel and find out what category you'll be answering true or false questions to. Here we go. There it goes. Round and round. Slowing down. Oh, all right. Your category, Mike, The Empire Strikes Back. The Empire Strikes Back. That's your category. Okay. Amanda, let's spin the wheel for you, okay?
Sounds good.
All right, here we go. Let's land on a good category. Let's see what we got. This is Amanda's wheel spinning right now. And it is slowing down. Interesting. Amanda, it landed on sunscreen. Sunscreen.
Okay.
That's the category it landed on. I'll go back and forth asking you your questions until you guys have answered all five. Mike, we'll start with you.
Okay, great.
Your category, The Empire Strikes Back. True or false? The Empire Strikes Back is the first Star Wars movie with Yoda. The Empire Strikes Back is the first one with Yoda. True or false?
False.
Okay. Amanda, sunscreen is your topic. True or false, Amanda? Sunscreen expires after 10 years. True or false, Amanda? Sunscreen expires after 10 years.
False.
Okay. All right, Mike. Empire Strikes Back. True or false, Mike? Out of the original three Star Wars movies, The Empire Strikes Back... Hold on, let me see. Out of the three original Star Wars movies, Star Wars, The Empire Strikes Back, and Return of the Jedi, The Empire Strikes Back was the biggest box office hit. Out of the three originals, The Empire Strikes Back was the biggest box office hit of the three of them. True or false?
I'm going to say false.
Okay. Amanda, sunscreen. True or false, Amanda? In the United States, sunscreens aren't allowed to be called waterproof. In the United States, Amanda, sunscreens aren't allowed to be called waterproof. True or false?
False.
You say false? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Mike, Empire Strikes Back. True or false, Mike?
Yep.
One of the main actors from the TV show Cheers is in The Empire Strikes Back. True or false, one of the main actors from the TV show Cheers is in Empire Strikes Back.
Oh, boy, that's a tough one. I keep thinking of the bartender or the mailman.
True or false?
True.
Okay. Amanda, sunscreen. What a category. True or false, Amanda? Based on sales, the most popular brand of sunscreen in the United States is Hawaiian Tropic. True or false?
False again.
Okay. Your fourth question, Mike. The Empire Strikes Back.
Okay.
True or false? The novelization, meaning in the book form, the novelization based on the screenplay for The Empire Strikes Back came out before the movie did. True or false, the novelization based on the screenplay came out before the movie did.
True.
Okay. Amanda, sunscreen. Fourth true or false question. SPF 50, true or false, Amanda? SPF 50 is only about 1% better than SPF 30 at blocking UV rays. SPF 50 is only about 1% better than SPF 30 at blocking UV rays. Amanda?
True.
Okay. Last one for you, Mike, in The Empire Strikes Back.
Boy, am I nervous.
True or false, Mike? The Empire Strikes Back almost had another dad plot line. In an early version of the screenplay, Han Solo had been married once before and went searching for his father-in-law. True or false?
Oh, man. I'm just going to guess true.
Okay. True or false, Amanda? Your final one. We all see SPF 50, SPF 30, SPF 10. The letters SPF stand for Solar Performance Factor. True or false? The letters SPF stand for Solar Performance Factor. True or false?
False.
Okay. Let's see how you guys did. And let's see who the big winner is going to be. Let's start with you, Mike. with the Empire Strikes Back. I asked you your first question, Mike. The Empire Strikes Back is the first one with Yoda in the movie.
I blew that one.
You said false. It's true.
Yeah, it is.
That would be, he got it wrong. That's a buzzer. Luke goes to train with him on the planet Dagobah. Did I say that right?
No.
Dagobah.
Dagobah.
Are you a Star Wars expert, Amanda?
Not an expert, but I like
Dagobah.
Dagobah.
Dagobah. Yoda does also make a brief appearance in Return of the Jedi. So that's one wrong, Mike.
Sorry.
Next one. True or false? Out of the original three movies, Star Wars, The Empire Strikes Back, and Return of the Jedi, The Empire Strikes Back was the biggest box office hit. You said false. You're right on that one.
All right.
The first one made the most money.
Because we went to see it multiple times.
$775 million worldwide. So one right, one wrong. Number three for you, Mike. I asked you, true or false, one of the main characters from Cheers is in The Empire Strikes Back. You thought about this one. You said, I'm thinking bartender or mailman. You said true. It is true. About 2 years before he landed the role of Cliff Clavin on Cheers, John Ratzenberger played a rebel officer named Major Derlin. So there you go. Nice job. Two right, one wrong. Then I asked you, true or false, the novelization based on the screenplay came out before the movie did. You said true. It is true.
All right.
It came out about a month earlier, so it was basically a giant spoiler for anybody that went to see the movie because it was based on the screenplay. Three right, one wrong. Here's the fifth one. This was a bizarre one. I asked you true or false. The Empire Strikes Back almost had another dad plot line. In an early version of the screenplay, Han Solo had been married once before and went searching for his father-in-law. You said true. It is true. It is true.
Oh, Lucas had all kinds of things.
His name was Oban, and he was connected to Vader somehow. So, yeah, there you go. So, you know what? You did really well. Four right, one wrong. Amanda.
Thank you, guys.
Amanda, are you ready?
Yeah, I think I would have done better with Star Wars, but we'll see.
All right. Well, let's find out.
She certainly knows about Dagobah.
Yeah. Your category was sunscreen. I asked you true or false. Sunscreen expires after 10 years. You said that's false. You're right. It only lasts 3 years. Then I asked you true or false. In the U.S., sunscreens aren't allowed to be called waterproof. You said that's false. It's true, believe it or not. Companies can only use the term water-resistant.
Because people will sue them.
No matter what kind of sunscreen you buy, it's not waterproof. So one right, one wrong. Then I asked you, Amanda, based on sales, the most popular brand of sunscreen in the United States is Hawaiian Tropic. You said false. You are correct. It is false. The number one, Coppertone Sport. Now we go to question number four. You got two right, one wrong. True or false, SPF 50 is only about 1% better than SPF 30 on blocking UV rays. You said true. It is true. 50 blocks 98%. 30 blocks 97%. So three right, one wrong. Here, we get to the fifth one. Here's the deal. Amanda, you get it right. We have a tie, and we have to go to a true or false tie-breaking question.
Okay.
If you get it wrong, Mike is going to win. Number five, true or false, the letters SPF stand for Solar Performance Factor. You said false. It is false.
Oh, my God.
It actually stands for Sun Protection Factor. That means that we go to a tie break for both of you if you get it right. Now, let me ask you, because I got tie breaks for both of them.
Mm-hmm.
Amanda, would you also like a Star Wars tiebreaker? I'll give Mike a Star Wars tiebreaker. And if you want a Star Wars tiebreaker, fine. Or I'll give you a sunscreen tiebreaker.
I'll try the Star Wars. Why not?
Okay. All right. Mike, true or false? We already know that the original Star Wars made the most money. True or false? The Empire Strikes Back made more money than Return of the Jedi. True or false? The Empire Strikes Back made more money at the box office than Return of the Jedi. True or false?
True.
All right. You said true on that. Now, for you, Amanda, true or false? In Star Wars, the original name they wanted to give Yoda was Minch. True or false, the original name they wanted to give Yoda was Minch.
False.
It's true. M-I-N-C-H, Minch. It was Yoda's name in the version that they were going to go and include the father-in-law, and they didn't know what to call Yoda yet. It was Minch. Mike, you got yourself Halloween Horror Nights.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm going to put you on hold, and I'm going to send
well
you over to John.
All
extremely
around.
Well played all around. Hold on, Mike, and thanks for playing, okay?
Thank you, Stan and Haney.
You betcha, buddy. Hold on. Amanda,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to give you a consolation prize, and it's going to be your choice.
Okay.
I have tickets to go see Styx. I have tickets to go see Jim Gaffigan. I can give you $50 to the Pewter Mug, or I can give you $50 to Burger King. What would you like?
Jim Gaffigan.
Now, that's this Saturday. You're going to be on a list at the Barber B Man to go see him 9:30 p.m. Saturday is when he takes the stage.
Oh, is the Styx this weekend, too?
Styx isn't until January.
Can I do the Styx?
Yes, you can do Styx. Now,
great.
Because he's got to finish with Mike. So you're going to be okay. On hold a little bit. When he comes to you, say you won the Styx tickets.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you, Amanda. Hold on. Very well played game by both of them. By the way,
I'm a little disappointed in you, though.
What?
Because before you started the game,
yeah.
Right as we were about to go on the air,
yeah.
You pulled your headphones off, muted the microphones, and go, what is...
I don't know what the thing is. And you know what? If it concerned me, if I really was into Star Wars, I'd want to get it right. But it's just another funny, goofy word.
Yeah.
By the way,
Minch.
Minch was one word name they came up for Yoda. The other one that they almost called him in the alternate ending where he was introduced, Buffy. Buffy was another name they considered calling Yoda. And neither one of them works.
Seems like George Lucas got lucky with a lot of things.
Yep. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, your first look at traffic, news headlines with Mark Haney, 4 o'clock fluffer, your emails later on in the 4 o'clock hour, our question of the week. We're Stan and Haney, 96 K-Rock.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Listen to new thrills in stereophonic high fidelity. Sound with a new dimension. The new living sound of
Stan and Haney.
The realism, depth, and dimension of a live performance right in your own home.
96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney. Thank you for joining us Thursday afternoon. Going to get you updated on traffic for your drive home. Just to let you know, Colonial has opened back up. We're getting a lot of texts and messages. Colonial was shut down completely at the I-75 area, which just made total gridlock.
That wouldn't cause that many problems.
FHP let us know it's open back up again, but it's still going to take a long time to get all cleared up. So just be aware of that, and we were aware of it, but what can we do?
Well, now your mood fits that of the listener.
Yeah, let me see. It was, and I'll tell you what was going on if you're still wondering and you're going, what the F? Shark Girl was the one that initially tipped me off to it. She said, the Colonial exit headed north on I-75 completely shut down, and they were redirecting everyone to go south. Ha! As she said, it was like putting a dagger in my eyes, because she lives up in North Fort Myers.
Mm-hmm.
It's open back up, so there you go.
North Fort Myers, home of the easy commute.
Nothing's easy about North Fort Myers. And Stan talking. Let's open up some restaurants in North Fort Myers. All right, there are some, about two or three that everybody goes to, so you can never get in because they're the only ones. You go, when I lived on the desirable Daniels corridor, you pick and choose. You go to Cape Coral, pick and choose. Cape Coral has some of the best restaurants around. Pick and choose. You go to Naples, Estero, pick and choose. North Fort Myers is really limited.
Three options.
You got three options. Three options that I know of. And the ones that I like to go to, because they're good and because your options are limited, it doesn't have to be in season. They're always packed and there's always a waiting line. Let's open up some restaurants. Starbucks wouldn't hurt either. And I'm not saying open a Tim Hortons. That would be great too. Just saying.
You know what you're doing?
What?
You're doing what people do to Florida all the time.
What?
Now, you've just moved to a different location,
yeah,
basically in town.
Yeah.
You left Daniels because you didn't like the congestion.
Oh, it's too crazy.
And so what you'd like to do now...
I like the peace and quiet of North Fort Myers.
...is move to North Fort Myers and have it be more like Daniels.
No, I'm just saying a couple of more options. That's all I'm saying. Here's what I know about North Fort Myers. As far I've lived there now a year, over a year. They got a great wing place. They got a great Mexican place that just opened, still relatively new, but within a few short weeks after it opened, because I went in the first few times, packed, can't get in. And they have another place that offers a variety of food, but that's packed. Because everybody goes there. I'm saying to my wife, it's a damn Tuesday night. Out of season, there should be no problem getting in. And then what do I have to wind up doing? Going down to Fort Myers, going into Cape Coral, which is just hell on earth. Sorry.
So, you would like the place you live now.
Yeah.
To be more like the place that you left.
No, not more. A little bit. A couple of options. Chinese place up there wouldn't be bad.
But you know what? North Fort Myers has been there a long time.
It sure
before
has.
Before you came along.
Sure has. And there's a lot of them not happy that people like me have moved there.
Exactly.
I understand that. I got no problems you shooting your guns off at all hours, and I mean all hours. Is there a need to shoot a semi-automatic at 3 a.m.? I don't think so.
But isn't it comforting that you don't have to wonder, was that a firework or a gun? You're pretty sure.
Gunfire. Traffic brought to you by gunfire. Firehouse Subs. 3 Lee County locations, Fort Myers and Cape Coral. See? Even Firehouse. Fort Myers and Cape Coral. Wouldn't hurt to add a North Fort Myers. Speaking of accidents, we told you Colonial 75 opened back up again, according to the FHP. I don't know if it's cleared.
I told you when they started that development.
Yeah. Fort Myers got a crash, Thornton Road and Live Oak Drive, and the other crash, Fort Myers, 2nd Street and Jackson Street. That's downtown. And you are up to date.
So what happens now? The people that like North Fort Myers the way it was, they'll have to go even further away.
Move to Punta Gorda. Coming up in less. Now, there are people there listening right now that are taking my words seriously. And I would like to tell all the libs out there, have a sense of humor. Grab bag. Oh, I'm not. It's not the grab bag. It's headlines.
Something or other.
It's headlines. Brought to you by Rubenstein Law, 1-800-FL-LEGAL. Also open on weekends. Okay, have a sense of humor. I'm being facetious.
What does that mean?
Not about the restaurants, though. I'm dead serious about it. Get us a place to eat.
Coming up in less than an hour on the news, we will have some things for you you did not know.
All right.
Someone on Reddit requested people to name annoying things that people willingly allow to define them and base their entire personality around. I'll give you an example.
Right.
Somebody brought up Harry the Bulgarian, our old friend.
Yeah.
His entire identity was based on the fact, not that he was from Bulgaria or all of the interesting things that are about him specifically. No, the first thing that he wanted people to know is that he loved Metallica.
Oh, yeah, he did.
And that his main life goal was to meet and party with Metallica.
Mm-hmm.
That was his identity.
Yep.
So it's that kind of thing.
Okay.
A company will pay you, or somebody, $50,000 just to move to Iceland for what they call a simpler life.
I'll do it. Gonna have to eat at home a lot. Wonder if they got a Tim Hortons over there.
And you won't do it, I guarantee you, when you hear what it is.
Oh, okay.
Because there's a lot of social media involved.
Oh, count me out.
This is a very... It's not a lengthy story at all. But it's incredible. Have you ever known a stinging insect to change its mind at the last minute?
No.
It happened in St. Petersburg.
All right. Oh, by the way, I appreciate the people that from North Fort Myers that have texted me about great restaurants. I'm familiar with all three of those. It's tough to get into them.
Yeah. Because in North Fort Myers, you have the big three. You don't have the big five.
Right. And then somebody texted us about the great Italian restaurant. A bad experience. The Italian restaurant there that looked like a nice place.
Yeah.
Apparently was open for 25 years. Finally moved to the area. Let's try this Italian restaurant. Closed. Closed down. Why? The owner gave up after the pandemic. Can't do it. Somebody just reopened it. But by that point in time, I've already soured on it.
And once you sour on something,
it's going to be a lot to bring me back.
And finally, this story requires an odd disclaimer. This is not a cartoon.
Okay.
A thief stole a car. Various strange things happened. And it ended up with the car getting stuck in wet pavement. Mm. These stories and much, much more unfortunate nonsense coming your way in less than an hour on the news.
Mark, thank you. Laughter is very important. We need laughter.
Hi.
4 o'clock fluffer time. Mark?
Stan?
Hi, everyone.
Honey, I'm home.
Hi.
A lot of people are very enthusiastic about Crocs.
Here's what I know about Crocs, and I think the company went bankrupt and they're still around, but they're trying to come back. Crocs are ugly. They're expensive for not all. They are extremely comfortable. When I went to one of the water parks in Orlando, and you say to yourself, well, what am I going to do? Because I'm going to get wet on that ride, wet on, and I would like a pair of flip-flops that'll stay on my feet. Can wear Crocs. They don't fall off your feet. You can get them soaked, and pretty soon they dry out, and you're in, and it's like walking in comfort.
Okay. Nothing to do with Crocs, but there's a pair of shoes that I really used to like, and I don't think they make them anymore because it's a stupid idea. But what they were was a pair of socks with a sole on them.
Oh, they still make those.
And I had a pair of Miami Dolphins.
I don't know about dolphin ones.
Sock shoes.
Yeah.
And I really liked them.
Yeah, and every time you pulled them up, they won the game.
Well, those were a similar concept, okay. Yeah. Okay. Depends on if they were on the road or at home. But evidently, people are very enthusiastic about these Crocs. And not just wearing them as shoes. Some people claim you can eat them.
Oh, no, come on, stop that.
With that in mind, we bring you today's list of the
top
other things Crocs can be used for.
Top other things Crocs can be used for.
McRib.
Yeah.
Softball base.
You're supposed to help me!
Something gas stations attach the bathroom key to.
You're supposed to help me!
Pasta strainer. Something to throw at the television when your team's sucking. Child's bathtub toy. Companion on a lonely night. Toothbrush holder. And finally, the very top other thing Crocs can be used for.
Yes.
Hemorrhoid pillow.
I agree.
Elvis has left the building.
That's it, baby.
Email ahoy at stanandhaney.com.
What?
Ahoy at stanandhaney.com.
Okay, okay.
Guardian, I don't know that I'm going to be able to get to your email today. I mean, I'll try to get a little bit of it in, but I don't think we're running very short on time. Since this G-spot started, my times have all been thrown off. This is from Eric. Ahoy, gentlemen. Let me start off by saying I'm sorry to comment so late on the subject, but because I'm here in Texas, I'm always catching up on the show via the podcast. I was listening to you guys talk about adults going back to school later in life and wanted to give anyone considering it a heads up. I am 41 years old and a military retiree of 20 years, which I suppose earns me a PhD in things that suck. Yes, sir. And I decided to go back to college. I attended a state university in Texas, working on an undergrad to go to pharmacy school. The fees for school are astronomical, and if it wasn't for my GI Bill, definitely not worth the debt and the expense. If you are considering a non-STEM major and one outside of law school, don't do it. Be careful with medical trade schools as well, as I am a graduate of a medical institute certifying me as a technician for a price tag of $27,000 in a field that starts at $12 an hour. Anyhow, just a thought. Keep up the good work, guys. Love the show. Much respect. Signed, Eric. Thank you, Eric.
And I don't understand academia in general. They charge these outrageous fees and tuition.
Yep.
Yet at the same time, they accept billions of dollars in endowments and donations and foundations.
Yep. Yes.
When I went to college, across the street was a little tiny deli coffee shop. In the back of the coffee shop, they had books, notebooks, pens, things that you'd need for college. They sold them cheap, really, really cheap. The college found out how much money they were making, bought the property, and shut them down.
Oh, I believe it, because if you go into the college bookstore, you're paying top dollar. You used to beg, when I was in school, I used to look for any used books.
Yeah, especially if whoever owned the book was smarter than you.
Yeah. Like those little notes in the margins.
Yeah.
When we come back, our question of the week. You have the right answer. We'll send it around the horn and take your phone calls. 277-9600. We're Stan and Haney.
Ladies and gentlemen, to continue, please warmly welcome with us
Stan and Haney Afternoons. 96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody. It's Stan and Haney. Question of the week. We're going to pose the question of the week, and we got to get through it fast because I have to break earlier so that we hit 5 o'clock. Usually,
we have fun.
I usually get very lazy about it and go past it, so we got to stay on time.
So we can't go with the half past a crab's ass.
Can't, not today.
Oh.
Pose the question of the week. Give you a chance to think about it. Call us 277-9600 with it. You can participate. Phone interaction. So I'll pose it to you. We'll do some traffic, send it around the horn, and then we'll take your phone calls if you would like to answer our question of the week. Love to hear from you. You have the right answer. It's your answer. Does longevity run in your family? Who is a relative in your family that lived the longest and to what age? There's somebody in everybody's family that lived to a ripe old age, an aunt, an uncle, a cousin, somebody that lived to a ripe old age. Does longevity run in your family? Who is a relative in your family that lived the longest? They may be still going strong right now, or they may have lived to an incredible age. What was the age? 277-9600 if you'd like to answer our question of the week. Does longevity run in your family? Who is the relative in your family that lived the longest, and what was their age? Maybe they're still going strong. 277-9600. Traffic brought to you by Firehouse Subs. 3 Lee County locations, Fort Myers and Cape Coral. Lived the longest in your family. Lee County, Fort Myers, crash, Colonial Boulevard and Hill Drive. Bonita Springs, crash, 27,000 block of Riverview Center Boulevard. And down in North Naples, got a crash, 6,500 block of Taylor Road. And you are up to date. Question of the week. Longevity. There's always somebody in some family. Maybe it's all of your family. Maybe it's that one person. Does longevity run in your family? Who is the relative in your family that lived the longest, and what was their age? Easy for me. Men in both sides of my family die in their 60s and 70s. Women live a long time, 80s and 90s. My great-grandmother, who I knew very well, lived to the age of 96.
And is that the one that was basically a deity that you had to pay tribute
to?
No,
that was my dad's mom, my grandmother, my great-grandmother on my mom's side. From the, she was born in Ottawa, Canada, somewhere in the 1880s. Her maiden name was Dumontier. And she lived until the age of 96, and she lived long enough. I was already driving a car and stuff when we went to her funeral. 96.
How did she get along with your grandmother?
They didn't. And in the later years of her life, before she was in a convalescent home, she lived with my grandmother, and they didn't get along.
How did she get along with your mom?
She virtually raised my mom. Wonderful woman. What about longevity in your family? Who in your family lived to be the oldest? Or maybe still going strong?
Well, a lot in the 80s. I don't think we had anybody in the 90s.
So what? Who lived into the their 80s that you remember fondly?
My grandmother did. Aunts and uncles?
Yeah. You know, if I'm productive in my 80s, great. I don't want to know that I want to live to the 90s. I don't know, unless I'm still moving along.
And there was one male relative, my Uncle John, who was highly successful and productive in his 80s.
See, that's what I want.
Oh, you would have loved him.
I bet I would have.
Sharp dresser, wore the same thing every day. Bermuda shorts.
Yeah.
White dress shirt with the bow tie and that kind of golf cap.
Oh, flat top?
Yeah.
Class, man. Who lived in your family
and
the
you know
longest?
What, and you know what he did? Because I saw him do it.
Yeah.
Because he walked every day.
Mm-hmm.
He had to cross the same street every day, and he didn't like the way the light was set up. It took too long. So here's what he'd do. Now, remember the outfit I've just described to you. He'd walk out into traffic that's flowing.
Yeah. And play police. Wave and stop the traffic. John, who lived longest in your family?
Well, I'm bloodline as far as that goes. I was adopted. So I'm going to say I don't have a huge family. My dad, his mom was 98.
Whoa!
Drove a 65 Mustang that was mint.
She's right on!
Yeah, midnight black with white leather interior. And she's,
right on!
Yeah, she smoked Terrytons.
Same brand Elvis smoked.
And then I have on my mom's side her sister, an aunt that doesn't talk to me. She lives right in Bradenton. I think she's in her mid-80s right now.
You know what? I like that first lady. It was in her 90s driving a 65 Mustang.
Sturdy. Love. I tried to take it one time.
And that didn't work.
Yeah, one time.
And I bet she gave you great advice. Things like, don't be a pussy.
She has a butt hanging out of her mouth.
Right on.
Bouncing up and down. The ash falls off.
Right on.
Right onto the floor. She doesn't care.
277-9600.
It's my kind of gal, Stan.
Yep. Ahoy, who's this?
Ahoy, this is Leroy from North Fort Myers.
Hey, Leroy, longevity. Who is the relative in your family that lived the longest? How old were they? And maybe they're still going strong.
No, 104 years old. She died about 20 years ago. It was my great-grandmother.
And made it to 104?
Yes, sir. She buried every one of her kids. She had four kids, including my grandfather, and he was the last one of her kids that she had to bury because he was the last one alive.
He was
84 when he died.
That's unbelievable.
That's the downside.
That is the downside. Well, you ask anybody that lives to their hundreds, they watch everybody around them die. You're not meant to live that long. 104. Ahoy, who's this?
Hey, it's Ray. How are you?
Ray, in your family, longevity, what relative or person in your family lived the longest?
Well, she's a second aunt, my grandmother's sister on the Portuguese side, and she's in Brockton, Massachusetts at 104, so she's still hanging in there.
So, she's still going strong at 104?
Yes, and as far as I know, not on any medication.
That's incredible.
So, it is. And I lost my grandmother at 85, but somehow she has missed it all and staying healthy.
That's incredible. 104. Yeah. And still not on any known medications.
When you're talking about extremes like 100, that's no longer being healthy.
That's pure genetics.
Yeah,
but the sister died in the 80s, in their 80s. They skipped it all and are 104, and with a Tarrington hanging out of her mouth, probably. Love that. I wanna see a picture of that lady, John, because something tells me she was cool. 277.
He tried to steal her car.
Yeah, well, once. Ahoy, who's this?
Ahoy, this is Josh in Cape Coral.
Josh, who in your family, relative, cousin, aunt, uncle, lived the longest and to what age? Maybe they're still alive.
My grandmother on my father's side. So my father's mom lived to 107.
107?
107.
Did you get to know her?
No, didn't really know my dad's side very much. She skipped out when I was about six, so...
All right. Skipped out. Well, she lived to 107. Had some living to do. 277-9600. Longevity.
Let's figure this out.
There's got to be somebody in your family that lived to a ripe old age.
If you were to live to be 100, what year would that be?
That would be 2062. There's not a chance in hell. 26. I'd have to live till 2062 to be 100. That's not happening. What is it year now? 2022. Yeah, I got it. I don't know that I. Right now, I don't know that I have that in me.
It sounds exhausting.
It does. Ahoy, who's this?
Ahoy, fellas. This is Jason from Cape Coral.
Jason, a relative in your family that lived the longest, and how old are they?
So my great-grandmother's oldest sister lived to be 106.
Wow. 106.
Yep, and she went into the nursing home at like 97 and stayed there for like 9 years.
Yeah, well, that's what happened with my great-grandmother because she used to be in the house with my grandfather and grandmother. And I remember she was like in her early 80s and her eyesight was starting to fail. And so my grandfather and grandmother would go to Watch Hill because that's where they had their store and the cottage was down. And so they'd leave my great-grandmother at the house and they determined that she couldn't see anymore because she almost set the house on fire, that it was time to go to a convalescent home. So from about the age of 82, 83, she was in a convalescent home till 96. And
point one.
Huh? Point 96.1. Yeah. The quality of life in those last years. I remember when she went in there, she hated everybody. And then, of course, the staff would say, don't worry, we're going to take some pictures and show you. And they took pictures that they sent us and gave us where she was holding court with all the other old ladies. She, 96, smoked filterless cool cigarettes and drank like a fish.
I don't trust those pictures.
Ahoy, who's this?
Ahoy, it's Ann in Fort Myers.
Ann, you're our last one before we take the break. How old and who was it?
All right, so I've got my grandmother on my dad's side. She's still going strong, very stubborn at 96. Her sister still going strong at 98.
Oh.
And then on my mom's side of the family, my grandmother, she passed at 96, her brother at 99, and her sister at 103. 4 days short of turning 104.
Wow. Now there's longevity in the family. Be prepared.
Yeah.
Be prepared.
Yeah. I'm not ready.
See ya. All right, we got to take a break. 5 o'clock, top of the hour, a chance at the thou.
You got to imagine, by the time you hit 90, everybody's expecting you to die any minute.
Of course.
And then by the time you hit 95, you're surprised.
Yep, I made it. Oh.
This is... Can I help you?
Hello? Yeah, I was calling about the job, man. How's it going?
Fine. Which job were you calling about?
I don't know. I'm looking to reel in some cash, and I'm looking for work, man.
Oh, what kind of work do you do?
It's construction. I repair lava lamps, listen to 8-tracks, play bass, you know? What do you guys got over there, man?
None of those, I can tell you right off the bat.
I can do anything, man.
Right at the moment, I don't have anything that is in that particular field. My recommendation would be that you go with a...
Hold on a second, man.
Okay.
I'm sorry, man. I'm really hungover, man.
Okay.
I gotta stop drinking one of these days. I don't want you guys to think I'm some, like, drunk all the time. I usually just drink on weekends, but...
Well, we don't handle any of those labor positions that you're talking about. A lot of ours are administrative and...
Oh, that's me, man. That's me.
Okay.
No, I'm serious, man.
But you have to have experience of that. Where have you worked?
I've experienced, you know, Woodstock, man. No, I'm serious, man. I was there. Hey, man, I grew up in, you know, I lived in San Francisco during the 60s, man.
Are you looking for a roadie position? That sounds like kind of like what you would...
I don't do that anymore, man. Hold on a second. Man, I was doing shots of grain alcohol this morning, man. I don't want you guys to think I'm like some drunk or something. I mean, I'm serious, man. Like, it's all, I'm okay. You guys don't do drug testing, do you?
Yeah, we do, as a matter of fact.
Are you... Oh, man, now you guys are tripping me out, man. I don't do any drugs anymore, but I want to be up front with you, because I back in the 60s and 70s and 80s, I used to do a lot of drugs, but it's not completely out of my system.
Yeah.
But it's going to show up on the tests.
You okay? You might want to give it another day to clear up before you try to do it.
So when can I, when can I start working over there?
I have no idea. Right now, it doesn't sound like you're in good condition.
No, I'm fine, man. I don't want you guys to think I'm like all drunk all the time, man.
Sorry.
So you guys don't have any openings. I'm serious, man. I need to start making some cash.
You're killing me, man. You're killing me.
I'm serious, man. I live in my van. I need to start. Ever since Jerry Garcia died, man, my life's kind of gone downhill. I need to start making some cash. You got to help me out, man.
Oh, it's hurting behind my ears.
Are you okay?
Oh, I'm good. Let me ask this lady if she has any...
Hey, come on, man. Come on, you gotta help me out.
I don't have anything, though. Sorry.
Oh, man, because I'm sick of living in my van.
I'm sorry, but I'm gonna go because I'm gonna have a heart attack. Thanks for calling.
96 K-Rock is where we've been for years. It's not a bad place to be. Besides, we've been told we can check out any time we like. And they said something else, but I forget what it was.
Stan and Haney on 96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney. Traffic for your drive home. Brought to you by Firehouse Subs. 3 Lee County locations. Fort Myers in Cape Coral.
You all right?
Yeah, I'm cool, man. One thing on the board, it's a crash. Fort Myers, Buckingham Road and Palm Beach Boulevard. That's what I got showing up right now. One more update for you in about 20, 25 minutes or so. Mark Haney and the News, brought to you by Jason and Todd at the Diamond District, starts right now.
There was a time before cable, when the local anchorman reigned supreme, when people believed everything they heard. This was an age when only men were allowed to read the news. One anchor man was more man than the rest.
Southwest Florida's most respected anchor man.
He was like a god walking amongst mere mortals. He had a voice that could make a wolverine purr. And suits so fine they made Sinatra look like a hobo. In other words,
Mark Haney
was the balls.
Hi, I'm Garrick Utley, and you're listening to Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, Mark Haney.
Good afternoon. This is the news for today, Thursday, September 22nd.
Double M, double X, double I.
Telling it like it is, I'm Mark Haney. Time now for things you didn't know.
Okay.
The jock strap.
Yes.
Has a long and storied history.
It has become a very important thing for men of all ages.
The jock strap was invented in 1874.
Oh, all
right. Now, we know what the jock strap is used for now.
Support.
And mainly in athletics.
Yes.
That is not what it was designed and invented for. Yet it was always called the jock strap.
Mm-hmm.
It was originally invented to help, quote, bicycle jockeys as they'd make deliveries on the cobblestone streets of Boston.
Makes complete sense. Riding on that little seat and, you know, things are running free and you hit those cobblestones.
Ow!
Could be painful. Get the proper support you need to lift.
But you always hear jockstrap and you think, yeah, jocks wear them.
Well, they do now.
Bicycle jockeys.
Yep. Lift and secure. Lift and secure. Seriously. Some of you guys that like to go out in public wearing like a sweatpant with no jock on, catch a clue.
I know you. That's one of your pet
Seriously,
causes.
Seriously, you see them walking around. Wear a jock.
You've all seen the PSAs. You know, those introductory words. Hi, Stan here.
If you're going around freeballing, don't.
You know, there's a lot of talk these days about gender.
Yes.
Well, here's a look back at gender-influenced history.
All right.
75% of those who identified as women survived the Titanic.
They didn't identify. That's what they were in those days. 75% of women survived who were on the Titanic.
50% of children survived.
Women and children. How low? You're going to bring up men. How low? Because women and children first. I don't know if many men got off the Titanic.
20% of men survived because there had to be someone to look after the women and children.
Yes.
They're helpless.
Yeah. So what was the percentage?
75% of the women survived.
Yeah.
50% of the children survived.
Yeah.
And 20% of the men survived.
So looking at it another way, 80% of the men on the Titanic died.
Because that's what was expected.
Yep.
Because you'd prefer death to being called a pussy.
Correct.
I'll show you. I'm no.
But some of the 20% that made it were pussies.
No. There may have been a few pussies involved.
Right.
But there had to be some men left so that the women and children didn't drown in the lifeboat. Because
oh, yeah,
they
you
got to
put a man on there.
Because they're just flailing around
helpless,
panicking.
In full hyster.
Yeah.
So you had needed a man on the lifeboat to calm them down.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right there.
Yeah.
And there's your 20%.
If it weren't for those 20% of men, nobody would have made it.
All right, this lifeboat holds 80 people. How many we got on the boat? We got 79 women and children. You got to have a man on there. Who wants to go?
Where's a young strapping lad?
Yeah.
Hell, I'm 30. I've already lived my life. Find a young man to go on the boat. Oh, and speaking of correcting people and their perceptions.
Yeah.
In the book Stuart Little,
mm-hmm.
Stuart is not a mouse.
He's not?
He's a tiny boy who looks like a mouse.
Oh. But in the movie, he was a mouse.
And he expects to be treated as such. I always find it amusing, these accidents of geography. Nobody really planned this out. It just ended up that way.
What?
How far would you have to go to drive to the town of Hyder, Alaska?
Well, the first thing I'd ask you, and I don't know if this is trick, Hyder, Alaska. Are there roads to Hyder, Alaska? A lot of places in Alaska, you can't. You have to wait till the pond, the lake freezes over to drive over there, or you have to fly.
In this particular instance, the only way you can drive to the town of Hyder, Alaska, is from Canada. No roads connect it to anywhere in Alaska.
There are so many places like that in Alaska. Because I watched that Alaskan Troopers show and Ice Road Truckers.
Mm-hmm.
But there,
oh, I love me some IRT.
There are places that the only way you can get to it is if everything's frozen over. And I've seen this on the Alaskan Troopers thing. They have like some kind of guy that, you know, like a crossing guard that gets to wear the orange deal, but he's not a police officer. They go and find somebody that's committed a crime, a lot of times domestic. And they'll go on the short wave and call, like in Fairbanks, the state police and tell them, you know, we got a jackball on our hands over here that needs to be arrested. And then the police will tell them, well, keep an eye on them. We'll see you in 3 months. And then they go over there because there's no law enforcement. They're just little villages that can't be reached other than by air. It's amazing.
Yeah, because you wonder what made somebody settle an area that you can't get to.
Well, a lot of them are native people that were that their heritage goes back there. Others, I don't know. You are basically isolated from everybody, and that's where, you know, you watch some of these shows. They can still legally hunt seal. They can still legally use whale oil. They can use all of that stuff because they've been there in this isolated village for generation after generation after generation.
And figured out how to survive. Yeah, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah, it is.
I know our time
is about 2 minutes.
Is a little strange.
2 minutes. Now you can take a break now if you want. Make it back up on the other side. But you got 2 minutes to play.
No,
with here.
I got the perfect thing for
you. Okay.
I've never heard of this happening before. But if you think about your wasps,
yeah.
Seems like they're pretty decisive when they decide they're going to sting you.
I think if they make a decision to sting, they're going to sting.
And I would think that happens almost every time.
Sure.
But not always.
Because I don't know that a bee or a wasp or a hornet will go and contemplate, do I do it or don't? It's an instinct and they sting.
A beekeeper in St. Petersburg was in the process of being stung by a bee. And then the bee changed its mind.
How does he know that?
She.
She.
She posted a video of the bee on her finger with its stinger in her skin, but she could tell it was trying to get loose. She's a beekeeper, so she didn't panic, and it eventually flew off.
And that bee lived another day.
Yeah. But usually you don't get that far into the stinging process and then have the bee go, oh, no, 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 no. I don't want to sting this nice lady. She's a beekeeper.
Oh, by the way, somebody just texted us, and I totally forgot, and it's the truth. What is somebody in Alaska doing up there in a little bit? Could be native, live there. Gold. Those people would go up into the Yukon and into Alaska for a gold rush and stay right there until the gold vein ran dry, and then they wind up staying there. That's true. Gold.
Is there gold in them there hills?
I don't know how much there is now, but back in those days, they thought it was. Back in your teens and 20s of the 20th century.
And it did. It created a lot of wealth of people selling shovels.
Yup.
In a moment.
And now, back to Haney's News on the Stan and Haney Show.
I am Bill O'Reilly with today's good news. Here's Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, my colleague, Mark Haney.
Bill. Stan, you sounded intrigued by this offer.
Oh, yeah, and then you told me maybe not when I find out what I got to do.
A company will pay you $50,000 to move to Iceland for a, quote, simpler life.
See, right off the bat, I'm saying, that sounds great.
The fancy yogurt company Siggy's will pay one person $50,000 to move to Iceland, one of the world's happiest countries, and share their experience with its brand new 4-day work week. Your job is basically social media content creator.
I'll pass.
You'll be documenting your own experiences exploring Iceland, trying out the food and immersing yourself in the culture. See, you'll be the fish that's out of water, and Icelanders will laugh at you.
Yeah.
Like, you know, people that come down here and like to swim with the gators.
Yeah.
I did it in Illinois. Why can't I do it here?
You know what? I'll tell you right now. You want to go laugh at me as I'm the fish out of water in Iceland? Going to take a hell of a lot more than $50,000 to get this guy out there and doing that. Hell of a lot more than $50,000.
Wasn't a minute ago.
Well, I didn't know I'd have to do that.
Yeah. Because it'll be a cold day in
cold
hell.
Cold day in hell for $50,000.
Or be some social media clickbait whore.
Yeah, clickbait whore.
Reddit's always good for a laugh. Recently, somebody on Reddit asked people to name annoying things people willingly allowed to define them and base their whole personality around it. We have the top nine.
Okay.
Starting at number nine, your car. Your identity is your car.
Well, the amount of cars I go through, that shouldn't be my identity.
Yeah, but some people are. Like, yeah. You know, I got a friggin' muscle car.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or like you with the old silver ghost.
Yep. Or I drive a Prius.
Oh, come on.
Or I happen to drive a Dodge Stratus. Number eight.
Yeah.
Their identity is built around exercise.
Oh, yeah. The lugheads.
Oh, yeah. I gotta get my lift in.
I do about 5 hours a day at the gym.
Constantly talking about crypto. Oh, yeah. Bitcoin.
Yeah. Thank goodness I don't know too many people like that. I don't know that I know anybody that is constantly.
Well, Matt Damon.
But yeah, but I don't listen to him.
I know.
People around me.
Shows and movies. Like Harry Potter fans who insist they're a Hufflepuff.
Don't know. Good. I don't associate with a lot of those.
The generation you're from, like, for instance, how you were bragging about being a boomer.
I wasn't bragging. You're not going to draw me in. You're not going to draw me in.
I'm not trying to draw you in. Where you live.
Well, that's down here, and people from Florida, and John should learn this. I had to. Talking about being from the Northeast.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the way we did it up in New Hampshire. That's not the way we did it in Mass.
That's not the way we did it on Daniels.
Yeah. I got to learn that. Daniels to North Fort Myers. That's a big different thing, too.
Yeah, honey. Remember back when we lived on Daniels?
Oh, yeah.
Sure, it was a headache, but yeah. You know what? We could get a table.
Anything you wanted.
Number three, politics. Their whole identity is politics.
Uh-huh.
Number two, your job.
I can't stand that.
The whole identity is based around that job. And if that job is ever lost...
This is why I don't like hanging around socializing with people in my business. And I'm not going to say the person's name, but when I was...
Haney.
Not you. That's one thing. I don't think we usually talk shop at all, other than what we want to do that is funny and stupid. But there was a person... When I lived downtown... And I would go to the cigar bar because I had my spot over there. And I would run into this guy.
You know, half that tab was supposed to be mine.
I understand that, but I drank it all.
Yes, you did.
But this guy, when I just wanted to just wind down, wanted to talk shop, talk the radio business. And I'm looking at my watch, and 2 hours later, please, it exhausts me.
Especially... The radio business, other than what we're doing right now.
Right.
Not fun.
No, the rest of it isn't fun.
And number one, your entire identity is based on being a sports fan.
Especially vicariously through another team.
Through another team?
You know, your team. A team. We had a good game on Sunday. No, the team had a good. You're not on the team.
Hello, I'm Bill Curtis of Investigative Reports. For our final story, here is Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, Mark Haney.
Yeah, well, at least people are talking about my team.
Hey, we've won two in a row,
Bill. Looking good.
I think we've had a couple of good lucky weeks.
I wouldn't say lucky. I'd say we're looking good. We're looking legit. Very rare that I have to do this particular disclaimer, but this is not a cartoon. This actually happened. Because as you follow this story, your mental imagery, I think, would naturally lead to picturing a cartoon. A woman recently stole a Mini Cooper in the Seattle area. And to get away, she had to blow through several barricades trying to get away in her stolen car. See, those barricades are there to try and keep a motorist from a situation they don't want to be in. Mm-hmm. Turns out one of the barricades was there because a crew was pouring fresh cement. Well, she didn't know. She didn't care. She stole a car, blasted through it. And that must be some quick-drying cement because the car was going nowhere. It immediately got stuck.
It's like that cartoon where the coyote is running through and then he freezes because of that quick drive.
Exactly. And we're not talking about like a couple of inches of sidewalk cement. This looked to be about a foot deep. After getting stuck, the driver went into action. During the course of this event, it's been documented, the driver threw a television set, an Instant Pot, and a half-empty bottle of whiskey out of the car before trying to leave the scene on foot. She managed to get out of the car and tried to run away.
A couple of steps.
Accompanied by her four-year-old son.
Oh, my goodness.
Somebody had the sense, even in Seattle, to call 911. Yeah. The police caught and arrested the driver for DUI, domestic violence, theft, negligent driving, and hit-and-run property damage. So even in Seattle, frowned upon.
Yep.
Dun, 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 dun. And that's the news for today, Thursday, September 22nd.
Double M, double X, double I.
I am Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman.
There he is, Little Money Haney, telling it like it is.
Yeah, it makes it even better that it was a clown car.
Well, those things handle that. You got that rack and pinion steering and all.
I know, but for comedic purposes.
Oh, it's perfect. Jason and Todd from the Diamond District bringing us news. We'll take a break. We'll be back. We're Stan and Haney, 96K Rock.
We, the management of Beasley Media Group, would like to thank Stan and Haney for decades of dedication to this radio station. We would like to, but we won't. Stan and Haney, 96K Rock.
Hey, everybody, Stan and Haney, thank you so much for spending your Thursday afternoon with us. Greatly appreciated. Sean Roberts coming up at 6 o'clock. He is going to take you through your Thursday evening.
It's not just me, is it?
No, it is not. Let's get one final look at traffic for your drive home this afternoon. It's brought to you by Firehouse Subs. 3 Lee County locations, Fort Myers, and Cape Coral. All right, just a couple of things. In Lee County, North Fort Myers, hit and run crash, 13,000 block of North Tamiami Trail. Then we go down to Collier County, East Naples, got a crash, 11,000 block of Tamiami Trail East. And you are up to date. Classic comedy brought to you by Best Home Services. Appointments available now.
GetBest.com. I grew up a weird kid, and my parents wanted me to be normal so bad. So they made me pick a sport. So I picked cross country because it was the closest thing to being a horse. It was a thing. And then a mile into every race, I would remember, oh, I hate running. I'm more of a show pony, right? So I would fake pass out. And my mom got worried. She's like, Catherine, I might take you to see a cardiologist for your fainting because my mother believed in me too much. And I didn't tell her I was faking it. I let them run hours of tests on me. And then this sweet little heart doctor told my mother and I that I was his first patient that he ever diagnosed with a personality disorder. Here's the best part, though. He still gave me an inhaler. He was like, I don't know. It could be allergies, but it's probably narcissism.
Have yourselves a great evening. Lord willing, we're back here tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Big Friday show. We're the Stan and Haney Show, 96K Rock. And we leave you this afternoon with this.
Ahoy, who's this?
Hi,
Ahoy, this is Leroy from North Fort Myers.
Hey, Leroy, longevity. Who is the relative in your family that lived the longest? How old were they? And maybe they're still going strong.
No, 104 years old. She died about 20 years ago. It was my great-grandmother.
And made it to 104?
Yes, sir. She buried every one of her kids. She had four kids, including my grandfather, and he was the last one of her kids that she had to bury because he was the last one alive.
He was
84 when he died.
That's unbelievable.
That's the downside.
That is the downside. Well, you ask anybody that lives to their hundreds, they watch everybody around them die. You're not meant to live that long. 104. Ahoy, who's this?
Hey, it's Ray. How are you?
Ray, in your family, longevity, what relative or person in your family lived the longest?
Well, she's a second aunt, my grandmother's sister on the Portuguese side, and she's in Brockton, Massachusetts at 104, so she's still hanging in there.
So, she's still going strong at 104?
Yes, and as far as I know, not on any medication.
That's incredible.
So, yeah, it is. And I lost my grandmother at 85, but somehow she has missed it all and staying healthy.
That's incredible. 104 and still not on any known medications.
When you're talking about extremes like 100, that's no longer being healthy.
That's pure genetics.
Yeah,
but the sister died in the 80s, in their 80s. They skipped it all and are 104, and with a Tarrington hanging out of her mouth, probably. Love that. I wanna see a picture of that lady, John, because something tells me she was cool. 277.
He tried to steal her car.
Yeah, well, once. Ahoy, who's this?
Ahoy, this is Josh in Cape Coral.
Josh, who in your family, relative, cousin, aunt, uncle, lived the longest and to what age? Maybe they're still alive.
My grandmother on my father's side. So my father's mom lived to 107.
107?
107.
Did you get to know her?
No, didn't really know my dad's side very much. She skipped out when I was about six, so...
All right. Skipped out. Well, she lived to 107. Had some living to do. 277-9600. Longevity.
Let's figure this out.
There's got to be somebody in your family that lived to a ripe old age. Ahoy, who's this?
Ahoy, fellas. This is Jason from Cape Coral.
Jason, a relative in your family that lived the longest, and how old are they?
So my great-grandmother's oldest sister lived to be 106.
Wow. 106.
Yep, and she went into the nursing home at like 97 and stayed there for like 9 years.
Yeah, well, that's what happened with my great-grandmother because she used to be in the house with my grandfather and grandmother. And I remember she was like in her early 80s and her eyesight was starting to fail. And so my grandfather and grandmother would go to Watch Hill because that's where they had their store and the cottage was down. And so they'd leave my great-grandmother at the house and they determined that she couldn't see anymore because she almost set the house on fire, that it was time to go to a convalescent home. So from about the age of 82, 83, she was in a convalescent home till 96. And
point one.
Huh? Point 96.1. Yeah. The quality of life in those last years. I remember when she went in there, she hated everybody. And then, of course, the staff, which, don't worry, we're going to take some pictures and show you. And they took pictures that they sent us and gave us where she was holding court with all the other old ladies. She 96, smoked filterless cool cigarettes and drank like a fish.
I don't trust those pictures.
Ahoy, who's this?
Ahoy, it's Ann in Fort Myers.
Ann, you're our last one before we take the break. How old and who was it?
All right, so I've got my grandmother on my dad's side. She's still going strong, very stubborn at 96. Her sister still going strong at 98. And then on my mom's side of the family, my grandmother, she passed at 96, her brother at 99, and her sister at 103. 4 days short of turning 104.
Wow! Now there's longevity in the family. Be prepared. Yeah. Be prepared.
Yeah. I'm not ready.
See ya. All right, we got to take a break.
By the time you hit 90, everybody's expecting you to die any minute.
Of course!
And then by the time you hit 95, you're surprised.
Yep, I made it. Oh.
Blue skies. Yeah. Every day is a gift.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.